Today's Hot Country, 94.1 FM, WMIX. Big Jake here with a very special guest joining us from Nashville. I'm guessing you're in Nashville right now?
Yeah, buddy. Nashville right now.
Yeah, just taking care of business like he is. Drew Baldridge, currently at the time of our conversation here, sitting at number 3 on the country charts. And wow, right? I mean, wow.
Yeah, wow is right, man. It is crazy. And, you know, y'all are my hometown station. Y'all played me before anybody, and you know how long I've been doing this, Jake. And it's very, very, feels very crazy and life-changing and humbling and blessed, all the things together. And I'm just so excited, but I'm also so excited for my hometown area, for y'all. I mean, you guys have been supporting me for 13 years. I moved away from home 13 years ago. 19, I left Patoka, came to Nashville, trying to chase this dream, and y'all have just believed in me even when I didn't believe in myself. And now here we are, top 3. That's wild, man. That is crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, you kind of have an idea of where things are. Like I said, we're talking ahead of, you know, whenever the new charts come out for next week. Actually, as a matter of fact, when people listen to this, you know, at some point Sunday night, Fitz on the Top 40 Country Countdown will announce where you are on the charts, you know, for the new week, right? So who knows where we might be, but you kind of know, you got, when you're in the charts, as far as what I know from how things work, you kind of get an idea of how the momentum is going. You feel like the momentum is still good, even at number 3?
Yeah, man. You know, I really believe that we're going to be number 1 by the end of August is how I feel. I feel like it can really happen. And, you know, everybody at radio has just been so supportive of us and what we're doing. And, you know, it's so exciting to think, you know, we have my hometown music festival, the Big Baldridge and Bonfires, coming up in September. And that's something I've done for the last couple of years for the hometown area. And how cool is it going to be, man, to sit on stage and be like, hey, we're number 1. Let's have a number 1 party tonight. You know, that's how I'm viewing it. And, you know, I'm just putting it out there that it's going to happen. We're going to have a number 1. And by the time we come September 21st and we play for Patoka, dude, let's bring everybody out and have a number 1 party right there in the hometown. That's crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, maybe number 1 for maybe we're celebrating a few weeks at number 1. That's what we're hoping for by that point. Maybe not just number 1, but a few weeks at number 1. By the way, happy belated birthday. I know your birthday was a few days ago, so happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Well, you're like getting up in your, you're almost to the mid 30s now. We're a year apart, I think, is what we are. So,
yeah, man. 33 is crazy.
33 and a dad. And do you feel like your career's finally getting started? I mean, how does feel to be this far? Because you're friends with Lainey Wilson. You just posted not that long ago a picture of her way back in the day. You guys having dinner at an apartment or something, I feel like. So you've known her a long time, and she talks about her road and how long it took for her to get to where she's at today as one of the biggest female artists in country music. So you guys, I mean, you've been at this a long time, but do you feel like you're just getting started in the sense of you're finally starting to see the fruits of your labor come to fruition, or?
Yeah, you know, we've had little wins all the way, you know, all across my career. But I feel like, you know, in the last year, this is the first time we've had national success, I guess is what you would say. You know, like, we've always been able to come up there and put on big shows and travel and play music and make a living playing music and play all the festivals in the country, open for everybody. But I feel like this is the first time we've actually had a song have national success, first top 5. And, you know, that feeling comes with a lot of pressure. Of just like, okay, I got to do this again and have another song that's just as big as a hit. And so, yeah, you know, I do feel like this is our first national real success. And I feel like we're putting a team together now that can really win moving forward. And, you know, you speak of Lainey. Me and Lainey been friends for 11 years. You know, I knew her when we were writing songs in her little, you know, she had a little camper trailer she used to live in for a little while on the outskirts of Nashville. And just watching her success over the last couple of years has been awesome. And, you know, a lot of friends, I've known Luke Combs for 11 years. And I remember I had record deals before both of them, you know, and they're sitting down and writing with them and then being like, man, we, you know, how do you get a record deal? We don't know how. And then when they get one, it takes off for them. And it didn't for me. I lost my record deal and I had to, you know, change up my way of thinking. And so everybody's got a different path. And, you know, I feel like this is an awesome path for us to be on right now. Who knows what happens next, but just excited and blessed and trying to live in the moment of where I'm at right now. If this is my only top five, this is my only number one, hopefully, I'm just excited. This is what I moved here to do. I moved here to be, to have a top five, to have a number one on country radio. And I feel like, if you would have told me 13 years ago, it's going to take you 13 years to do this, I don't know if I would have went through all this bull crap. But I'm very blessed and glad that I did and glad to be where we're at.
So let's go back a little bit. So you graduate, what, 2010, right?
Graduating in 2010, yep.
So you graduate in 2010 and you spend a little time close to home, and then you make the decision to, pursue music full time. And so that's probably the first goal, I feel like, for most artists. You hear them talk about, they're like, we just want to make a living playing music or writing songs or both, a combination of the two. You don't want to feel like you're working. And when you're a musician or a songwriter, that's kind of the goal, I feel like, that a lot of them start out at. Not everybody starts out wanting to be Luke Combs. I don't think he even started out wanting to be what he is today. But
Yeah.
you mentioned, you had record deals before these guys, and these guys that are blowing up. One right here close to us, Bailey Zimmerman, right down the road from where we grew up in Louisville, is massive right now. I mean, he is out of a rocket. He's shot out of a rocket, and he's a part of that new school country group of all that, all those guys that come through. But going back to kind of where you start, you go from your kind of things are humming for you, and were you kind of continuing to make cess up until 2019, or where were you at in 2019 before because the record label shut down, right? That's what happened initially.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, like when it shut down, I was kind of excited. I was like, okay, this is gonna be fresh. Like everybody's gonna want me. I'm gonna get a new record deal. And that didn't happen. Like in Nashville, you're kind of viewed as if one doesn't work, it's a lot harder for the second one to work. Well, the songs that he put out wasn't connecting with these people, so why would we sign him and do it again? So 2020 comes, COVID hits, nobody will take meetings. I lose my record, not only my record deal, but I lose my manager. I lose my booking agent during that time. I lose my publisher. And at this time, I've been in Nashville for almost 10 years. I was there for 9 years and I kind of lose it all, And I'm like, okay, well, do I give up and move back to Patoka and start working on the farm with my brother
Selling
or do
cars
I?
or insurance or whatever you would do,
What do we do here? Or do I buckle down, and say, okay, well, I'm gonna freaking figure this out. And one of the first things I did was just started working on social media and TikTok. And I think, I just said, hey, if anybody wants a show in your backyard, I'll play for anybody, And I thought we'd get 5 or 10 requests, and we ended up getting 20 some thousand. And so I went around the country for 2 years and played in over 300 people's backyards. And it reminded me a lot of how I grew up there in Patoka, playing, little bonfires during high school parties. And, wherever I went, I just had a guitar sitting in the back of the truck and we'd play bonfires every, me and my buddy John. I mean, we would play bonfires everywhere. And then that turned into playing in bars. And so it really just took me back to my roots, of how I started, of just playing acoustic music. And it really changed the way that I thought about music. And it was like, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not making music for Nashville. I'm not making music. As much as I love being on country radio, I ain't making music for country radio. I'm making music for people, and it really changed when I was in their backyards and meeting them and eating barbecue. And they would tell me why this song meant so much to them. And I was like, I'm done chasing something. I'm done trying to be the new cool shiny thing in Nashville because I'm not that anymore. I just need to make music that people need in their everyday lives. And so, a song like She's Somebody's Daughter and songs like Big Prayers and other songs that we've been recording and new music that I have coming out that I'm really excited about. I've just really buckled down. So I'm writing songs that people need in their lives, songs that people can make memories to and live life to and do to. And so that's really changed my way of thinking. And if that means, hey, we have 15 number ones, great. But if we have success of making music for people that need it, that's what I'm here to do. That's why I believe God put me on this planet. And that's what my goal is just to try to make music for people. But yeah, when I started playing people's backyards, I was like, man, is this all that it is? Is it just going to be backyards? And so last year, I couldn't get a record deal. So I just created my own record company and said, screw it. I'll send it to country radio all by my friggin' self and hired my own staff and hired my own team. And, everybody's like, what's your goal out of this? And I said, man, if I get top 40, that'd be freaking awesome. I've never had a top 40 before. That'd be pretty cool. And Then we got top 40. I was like, oh man, maybe we can get top 30. And then it flew top 30. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is freaking rolling. And now we hit top 10. I'm like, well, let's go number one, baby. Let's
Why
go all
not?
the way. And somebody was telling me the other day, I was like, man, if you do this, you'll be the first artist in the history of country music to independently get their first number one. It's never happened.
Yeah,
And it's like, wow.
there's been others that have done it, but it's not their first, right? That's the big thing here.
That's the big thing. Yeah. You know, other, like, I think Garth Brooks, Tracy Lawrence, and Kenny Rogers have all independently got number one songs. But mind you, they all had multiple number ones before that.
Right.
You know, this is what's groundbreaking and changing the game is that, you know, we're in such a streaming world right now where people stream songs and radio follows what streaming does, and navigating that is interesting. But right now, artists are making money off streams. That's never happened before. There's never been a way for artists to actually make money. And so now the game changing of where an artist doing what we're doing for it to be their first number one with no record label, that's groundbreaking for our industry and changing the game for independent artists where, hey, maybe you don't need a record label, or at least make sure it's a partnership of a record label and not they're not taking everything from you, because that's a hard thing as an artist when you're getting everything taken and you're not making any money and you just want to play music at your heart, but everybody else is making money around you. I've been there, and you're broke and you're like, well, I just played for 3 years and I still don't have any money, but everybody else does. And so it's really changing the game. And so I'm super excited to see the future of what's going to happen, you know, for labels and how they structure and how they work with artists. I just think it's really cool. And I love that we get to be the person to groundbreak this for independent artists.
Because it's also, if you think about it, coming in nowadays, you talk about social media, these artists can come in with like a huge following, and they can be making money from YouTube and TikTok and everything else and all these other whatever social media that might come up next. The next app that's big could be the same thing. So they could come in and they almost have all these bargaining chips that when they sit down at the table with these record labels, these managers, and they start talking about percentages, it's like, well, I don't, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have you, but I don't necessarily need you to make a living, you know. And that's almost the position that you kind of find yourself in now, right? You're kind of looking, or have you found managers? I mean, you have your own record. I mean, where are you at with all the other extra stuff and getting help and moving forward? Where do you go from here on this whole thing?
Because it's like, you know, I still believe artists need teams. And you know, I still think a team is so important because you can only go so far by yourself. I mean, obviously you can take over the world, but it just, for me, I have a 18-month, 19-month old son and a wife, and you know, me putting on all these hats of running a record label. Then I'm over here and I'm booking all the shows. And then I have to write the music. And then, you know, it just becomes where I'm on the phone all day, all night. And I can't watch my son grow up that way. And so, you know, it's gotten to the point now where I need a team. I just signed on to a new manager, a guy named John Maneely, who's Jelly Roll's manager, which I'm super excited about. We just did that in the last couple of weeks, and he's really respected in town and really respects what I'm doing, and you know, has ran Jelly's career, which I think is kind of similar to mine, how he's done it independently and social media, and he gets what I'm doing. And I just signed a booking agent deal with a company called UTA, which is super awesome. I don't have to book my own shows anymore, which is a big, you know, weight off my back. And the team is coming together. You know, now we're still figuring out what we're going to do on the label front. You know, if that's still just doing my own thing, which has been very successful, or if a partner wants to come along and make a real partnership, we would have that conversation. Because it's really hard. You know, it depends on how far you want to go, I guess you could say. You know, if you want to do what we're doing, you make hits and be cool with that and not get, you know, nominated for CMA awards or ACMs or things like that, that takes a bigger team to help support all that. And so I still think teams are very important in our industry. It's just got to be a right fit for everybody. And, you know, it's not for everyone. Do I want a partnership? If it's right, you know, if a label comes along and says, we want to partner with your label and just boost you up and add some strength to it, I'd probably say, yeah, let's check that out, you know. But if it's just like an old deal again where I was at, I would probably keep what I'm doing now and just continue to have my own staff and put out our own music the way we want to.
Well, and you know, when this thing hits number one and everything like that, you already have a lot of the cards in your own hand. You have all the chips, you know, in front of you. But if this thing hits number one, you've got this story to back everything that you're doing. And so you're in a great position for that. And it's, I'm excited for you. It sounds weird to say, but I'm proud of you. You know, it's like,
don't be weird. That's awesome.
You don't need my approval for anything, but it's just cool. It's cool. Even though I don't, you know, for instance, we talked about Bailey. I don't know him, but knowing where he's from and knowing the similarities of how we all grew up in this area, it's exciting to see, you know, you and him and everybody else get success, you know, and it's exciting for anybody, but you're not closely connected to those people. And I actually wrote down, you know, a few notes here, and I was thinking about your story, and I was thinking about other stories. And it seems like nowadays the story is almost as big as the artist, you know, with Luke Combs. I mean, he was so huge first, and then now we're learning so much about him and how he was overseas whenever his child was born and all this other stuff. And his story is getting better because of that. Jelly Roll's story is crazy, and it's amazing, and he's such a good guy. Lainey Wilson, Cody Johnson, you. The story is almost as important as the songs and the artists themselves. But I just don't know why your story had to be so hard, man. Why did they have to do what it did? You know what I mean?
Well, I think, you know, that's what, in country music, stories are important because us country folk, we like hardworking people. We like people that can change. We believe in the better of people and the strength of people. And, you know, I think that's what's so important about country music. And I think my story ties a lot to country folk about the aspect of never giving up. I mean, I go back to farming and, you know, the farm that I grew up on, we had such old tractors, they broke down every freaking year, you know? And it was like, well, we got to get it in. We're going to figure a way out, you know? And so I just think the aspect of never giving up for a lot of these artists is a part of the story of our journey. And, you know, for me, I've just made everybody a part of my story. I just include y'all on my socials, and I want y'all to know and be open about, hey, this is what I had to go through. I had to go through this crap to get here. And you guys have supported me through that. And that's just as much of a cool thing for me to know that everybody's had my back. Like, yeah, I say I created my own record label and did this by myself. But without y'all, without you, our hometown area, our local radio stations, this doesn't happen. There's a way bigger team for me than Nashville. And that's what's been winning and for us. And that's what's been such a cool thing is that my team are my people. It's y'all streaming it. It's everybody sharing it. It's the radio stations playing it when they don't have to. And I feel like it's super cool because it's like, I have this massive team out in the world now that's just cheering us on and rooting for us and wanting to see this happen. And it hasn't been that way for 13 years. I've always felt like I didn't have a team. I felt alone. Like nobody's rooting for us. We can't pull this off. Our music ain't right. Nobody's loving it. And now it's like, oh, wow. I feel like I have the biggest rooting, you know, cheerleaders of all. And it feels really, really good. And I'm very proud of what we've done. And it's really awesome to hear, you know, like you, Big Jake, say you're proud of it too, because that means a lot to me. You've been talking me up and playing my music for years. And now you're a part of this story just as much as anybody else is. And that's what really pumps me up.
Yeah, when you hit number one, I'll send you my address. I'll get part of that royalty check that you're gonna get. You're gonna get a huge percentage of. No, I'm just kidding. It really is a great story, and it's awesome to see. You know, I've said this to you. I've said it on the air numerous times. Anytime your song comes up or you come up on the air or whatever, we talk about how you sang the national anthem at our high school during a ball game between Patoka and my high school. I always think it's just so funny to think about. It's like you were in uniform before the varsity game, warming up. You probably had a sweat going, everything. You go over, you sing the national anthem, and then you go back starting lineups. We're playing a game. But now where are we? You know, that was so many years ago, and that's so cool to go from that to where you were, you know, in 2016 for, you know, just let's just go to there, you know, with Dance With You. That was 2016, right? Or right in there?
Yeah.
And then what was the next one? Rebound and Dance With You. They were supposed to be kind of your starting off point, weren't they? That was kind of where it was going to start off before we got to 2019.
Yeah. You know, Rebound, you know, was still one of my favorite songs I've written, and it connected with a lot of people around the country. And it was streaming before streaming was cool. You know, everybody didn't really understand what that was. And, you know, we had millions and millions of streams on that song, and it was really connecting with people. And, you know, I thought that was going to be my first number one, and, you know, it just didn't work out. It got to the 40s and it died. And Which is fine. I've always thought about maybe going back and re-recording that and seeing if there's something to that. But that was a song, I really thought was going to do something. Then we went, and on a hiatus of just trying to write the next song, and nothing really stood out until the label shut down. And so, it is crazy to look back and think. I remember singing those national anthems and warming up, and I remember thinking to myself when I was warming up, like, okay, I need to chill out because I'm actually have to have some breath to sing this song because it's not, that's not an easy song to
No.
sing. And I remember like warming up and being like, okay, there's a minute on the clock. I need to not go as hard as I've been going because I got to freaking sing this national anthem. And so, yeah, man, it's crazy to think where it all started. That was a big part of the journey of singing in front of people and getting to muster up your boldness to and your courage to step out and sing. And that was one of those moments of in front of, hundreds of people or thousands of people when they got bigger games.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, Dance With You, Rebound, and then you go, and then also 2019 was senior year, along with She Somebody's Daughter. Both songs, I think I saw senior year on TikTok before I actually knew that you had released that song. I think it just popped up in my feed as one of those viral songs that, people were doing their videos to. And it was a massive song because of the way the COVID graduations and the fact that you didn't get to go and be at the school and experience all that. And then you come out with, She's Somebody's Daughter. It has its own thing. And then now you got a couple more songs. What is it? Can She Have This Dance? You're starting to cut. You got a few songs that are going to stand a long test of time. People are going to look for senior year songs, daddy daughter songs, mom and son songs. You got a few songs that are just going to continue to stand that test of time as you kind of, move through the rest of your career.
It's been super interesting, I've had a couple people say that of just like, man, you're writing songs for moments. And I didn't realize I was doing that when I was writing them. I was just like, hey, my wife wanted me to write all the special dance songs. So that's what I did for our wedding. Senior year was just literally an idea that I had on my way to drive. Like right before I left, I was on Facebook and scrolling, and somebody back home, a girl posted her picture and it said, first day of senior year, and it was her and her best friend. And I just, all those feelings of my first day of senior year came back to me. And I was just like, oh man, I want to write that today. Don't know why I'm writing it because it's not a radio single. It's just something that was on my heart. And then the hook of the song said, never thought it would disappear senior year. I just meant live it up, go by fast. It's going to go by fast. Well, in 2020, all these kids' senior year did disappear. It took on a whole new life. And so TikTok, they were posting all their videos with it and sharing it. And it turned into me going and playing graduations all around the country, drive-in movie theater graduations or parades. And I would go and just me and my guitar, I'd drive hours and hours and hours to sing for these kids, give commencement speeches. And it is super weird how, when you sit down to write songs and you're like, man, I'm just writing it because it feels like the right thing. And not knowing it was going to be needed for a moment. It was going to be like senior year. That is what's crazy to me is we didn't write that just because COVID happened. It was already out and it was already in the world and people discovered it because of it was already out. So yeah, man, I appreciate you saying that. And I've had a lot of people tell me too, which is wild of just like, a song like She's Somebody's Daughter, like, dude, that's going to live for 30 years. People are going to dance that with their dad for 30 years and maybe longer. And I was like, really? You think so? I don't know. And I know like, man, no, it's timeless. It's for all the daughters. And songs like Can She Have This Dance, another one where moms are always going to use that for their kids and for their boys. And I don't know. It's super weird feeling to think that that's a real possibility of knowing that something God just put on my heart to write and knowing how many people it's touched and for the right moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do this thing on the show. It's called the Parkway Triple Play. We play three songs in a row that are, themed of some sort. If it's somebody's birthday and, that sort of thing or whatever. If there's a song in country music history or an album or something like that, you get the idea. And obviously, with you being on the show, we're going to do three from you. But I want you to pick the three songs. And it doesn't have to be She's Somebody's Daughter. It doesn't have to be any song that we talked about. We'll go out, we'll find them, or you might have to send them to me or whatever if you got the MP3 that you can send over. But what are three Drew Baldridge songs that just your entire library, and there's probably some that you have written that you don't have recorded that you would probably like. They explain or they showcase what you are and where you came from and where you are now. What are three songs from Drew Baldridge that you would just be like, these are the three songs you need to hear. From this point in my life, this is the three songs of mine that you need to hear if you want to know more about me.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw some curveballs here.
Okay.
there's a song called Mom and Them, which is on my Country Born album. It's a song that I always thought was going to do better, stream better. It's a song that makes me think of home. And I just think what a perfect way, you know, for you guys to hear more about me. And it talks about, you know, maybe one day I'll move back there, back to Mom and Them. And it just makes me feel like Patoka and you know, Mount Vernon, Salem, all those, you know, Marion County, where I grew up at. I just think that that song really says a lot. And I think people will hear it in that too.
Mom and them still sitting there rocking in a front porch light Saturday night, watching that old dirt road. Mom and them still frying that chicken after church on Sunday, sugar in a tea, that's what I call home. About that, even give me a little land. Mom and them still bragging on me down at the co-op store about things I've done, thinking further than I really am. One day I'm gonna put these songs away. I'm gonna need that change of pace, run back to where I ran away. One
Another song is a song that I wrote for my grandpa. It's called Legacy. One of my favorite songs I've written. And, you know, growing up on the farm and losing my grandpa a couple of years ago. And, you know, the bridge of this song is so important to me because I always thought, you know, like, it's hard that my son is never going to know my grandpa. And that is really tough. But the way he's going to know him is through me, because I ain't going to let his legacy die. I'm just going to keep passing on things I learned from my grandpa, the way I talk, the words I say, you know, things that my grandpa taught me, I'm going to pass it down to my son. And that's the way we can make, you know, our relatives live forever, is by the legacy that they leave behind. And I just think that this song really says that. And I think people in our hometown area would resonate to it.
He taught me how to drive a Massey, how to work a clutch and keep it straight. And wore the gold off a wedding band, only loved one woman to her last day. Saturdays we're checking trail lines and catfish sermons in a John Bull, talking girls and talking life and laughing at all his clean bad jokes. He was Superman in overalls, at least that's what I thought. Now he's up there with the angels and the good Lord by side, and I'm down here you're trying like hell not to cry, still wishing for a little more time. He was gentle, he was strong, and when he passed it home. More than that money in his pocket, that truck that he bought us back in 1989. More than that field full of cotton, he's gone, I've forgotten we might have said goodbye. But a small town man's legacy never dies. He had his own garden and he grew tomatoes so he could share them with the folks in town. He'd give his shirt off his back to a stranger, everything he owned by the sweat of his brow. Oh, I can see him now. Yeah, I bet he's looking down up there with the angels and the good Lord by side. And I'm down here trying like hell not to cry, still wishing for a little more time. He was gentle, he was strong, and when he passed it home. More than that money in his pocket, that truck that he bought us back in 1989. More than that field full of cotton, he's gone, not forgotten, we might have said goodbye. But a small town man's legacy never dies. Everything he taught me, I can't wait to carry on the legacy. Now he's up there with the angels and grandma by his side, and I'm down here trying like hell not to cry, still wishing for a little more time. He was gentle, he was strong, when he passed it home. More than that money in his pocket, that truck that he bought us back in 1989. More than that field full of cotton, he's gone, not forgotten, we might have said goodbye. But a small town man's legacy never dies.
And then we're going to play She's Somebody's Daughter.
Of course.
The song has changed my life, and it's top five. And, you know, hopefully we can get it number one. And everybody always asks, what's your favorite song you've ever written? It's like, yeah, I got a lot of songs that I really like, but this is the one that's changed my life. It's literally done everything for me in the last couple of years.
Yeah. It's easy to have recency bias because it's got such success right now. But, okay, think about this in 10, 20 years. I mean, this is the song, wherever you are in your career, that you'll always remember. It went to number three or number two or number one, you know, like we know it's going to, and it changed everything. It's the reason that you have a new record label, and you might have another one that you might sign to your own record label. You might have another one. You have a new manager. You know, you have all these things because of this particular song. And but all these other songs that you mentioned, all these other songs that you've done, you know, have brought you to this point. And
she's more than just a pretty face in a late night bar. More than just a pair of tight jeans sitting in your car. She's more than a last call kiss or a one night stand. Remember, boy, you weren't the first to hold her hand. She's somebody's daughter. She's somebody's everything. She's somebody's little girl, even if she's grown up and moved away. She's somebody's whole world. She's somebody's baby. And if you don't treat her right, hers won't be the only heart you're breaking. She's somebody's daughter. Her daddy bought her her first car, taught her how to drive, scared her senior prom date under that porch light. first heartbreak and said, honey, he ain't good enough for you anyway. She's somebody's daughter. She's somebody's everything. She's somebody's little girl, even if she's grown up and moved away. She's somebody's whole world. She's somebody's baby. And if you don't treat her right, hers won't be the only heart you'll break in.
Can't wait to see where you go from here. I appreciate the time, and you always make time, and you always, you know, it, and I'm the same way. You know, it might take a couple of days for us to text each other back, but anytime I text you, Drew, as always, within a couple of days, he texts me back. One of these days, I'm going to text him. They're going to be like, "Who is this?" You're going to have a new number because you got too many texts coming in from everybody. But I can't thank you enough for your time over the years and what you've done today and continue to do and joining us and. Anything else? I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, I know you just want to continue to write and record and go on, but is there anything from this point that you know is planned and you're ready to attack and excite the people? I mean, I know you got your festival coming up. That's a big thing, but there's other things career wise, I'm sure.
Yeah, we got a new single that we're super pumped about. It's not done yet. It's getting real close. And I just think this is another song that could be a career song for me, a song that I'm really passionate about. It's been really hard, actually. Another artist recorded this song, and I took it back from him just last week and said, you know what, this is my story to tell. And I say I take it back. They graciously gave it back to me. You know, I just asked if I could, and they gave it back to me, and I'm super excited that they did. And it's a song that I think is going to really be a great next single for us. And I can't tell you what that is yet because my team would kill me. But hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to start leaking that out, playing it for people and all that. But it's new music that I'm really excited about. And, you know, I just hope that my hometown area, I can keep making y'all proud and keep making music that you guys can resonate to. And, you know, I'm really excited for the fall, you know, the big Baldridge and Bonfire, you know, on September 21st. That's always been a special thing moment for me to see all our hometown people in one spot, and, you know, fitting 2,000 people into Patoka is hard to do. I love seeing, you know, first year we did, I love seeing Patoka people freak out, not knowing where they're going to park all the cars. And it's just a hectic day. And what I think is fun this year is we're actually doing two nights. We're going to do a Friday night and a Saturday night, which nobody knows yet. We're about to announce that really, really soon. We're going to have a locals only night on Friday. And then Saturday, we're going to have a great show with me and Mark Wills. Mark Wills is coming to play with us, too, who's awesome. Had some big, big hits. And Friday night, my buddy Dylan Wolf is going to headline. And so it's going to be a great weekend. You know, we're turning it two nights. We don't know how that's going to work. We hope people show up for both of them. So, yeah, man, lots of exciting things. And I just appreciate you having me on here to chat about it all.
Yeah, we'll talk about the festival. We'll have you back on to talk about that for sure as we get a little closer. And, you know, once you get a few more details ironed out, get a schedule, get tickets, you know, that way we can have something to promote and that sort of thing. And we're excited for that, as well as all your success in the future and everything you've done thus far. Drew, can't thank you enough. Drew Baldridge joining the show this morning. Thank you so much, sir.